All right, what's up, y'all? And welcome, welcome, welcome. This is another episode of the Government Coins podcast. And as we continue to create more episodes of the podcast, we try to bring on guests from different areas within government. So today we actually have Dallas Independent School District. So I'm super excited about this one. We haven't had a school district on the podcast at all. So Stephanie, you are the first. You are planting the white flag to let us know how to navigate doing business with school districts and just schools in general. Just what can we expect? How do we navigate it? So without further ado, thank you so much, Stephanie.
Well, thank you so much. And it's an honor to be the first school. And I have to tell you, you have the best one on here. So kudos to you for that. So all of those that will follow, so thank you so much for inviting Dallas ISD on here. And it's a true honor to get the invitation and be a part of the podcast. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, honestly, we want to learn more about you. They hear me talk all day.
All right. Well, I'm actually originally from Chicago. So I'm a Chicago girl, true and true. I've been in Dallas probably for about 13 years now, though, but Chicago is still home base for me. And I have a true passion for helping small businesses. Of course, we are a part of Dallas ISD's Minority and Women Business Enterprise Department. And kind of my history, my professional history kind of lends up to that. And I feel like it kind of everything that I did prior to working with small businesses kind of led up to this moment. The bulk of my career is actually in higher education. So, but I've always helped people. Every job that I've ever had has been helping others. And so I take that and I'm very passionate about it, and it shows in the work that I do. And so it's just exciting to have that type of experience, throughout my professional career. And so that's kind of like a little snapshot about me. Of course, we all have a story, and my story can run very, very deep and long. So we're not going to go there, but that's just like a little small snapshot of who
Got
Stephanie
it.
Broughton is.
So how did you end up from moving from Chicago to Dallas? What prompted the move to Dallas? Was it just a job offer, or you got there and fell in love with it?
Actually, it was like a combination of things. I was preparing to relocate anyway, and my best friend had moved to Dallas, and she was like, come to Dallas. I was actually heading to North Carolina, true story. I was heading to North Carolina, and she said, no, come to Dallas. The opportunities are better. And I think, Dallas would be a better fit for you. And so I said, okay, it was like, okay, I'll try it out. And so I've been here for 13 years now. So I, I think anytime you relocate, anytime you transition to a new space and, a new area, there's always that growing pain that you have when you do that. So I've relocated several times. So Dallas is, one of the ones that, I wasn't supposed to come here. I was supposed to go to North Carolina, but I ended up here, and things have worked out, for me here in Texas. So I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to hear that. I have someone on the YouTube, I mean, on the Instagram chat saying, I told you, they're saying Dallas is where it's at. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there in Dallas. But can you tell us a little bit about your role in Dallas ISD? And honestly, what does it cover? Like, what can we expect when we think about doing business with Dallas ISD?
Okay, awesome. So my actual role with Dallas, first let me say that, Dallas ISD is the second largest school district in the state of Texas, but we are number one. We are the number one school district. So, but we are the second in size. And we have an amazing leadership here at Dallas ISD, starting with our superintendent, Dr. Stephanie Elizalde. And as far as, we have our board of trustees, and with Dallas ISD, we actually have a policy. We have a board policy that supports minority-owned and women-owned businesses. So I'm very proud about that and very excited to share that. And with our leadership within our specific department, we're led by our deputy chief, Mr. Leslie Williams. We also have an executive director, Annie Holmes Partee, And then Wilton Munnings is our manager on our construction side. We actually have two different divisions. We actually have a goods and services division, and we also have a construction division. I actually work on our goods and services division, but I actually started in construction. So I can started in the construction side of the house. So a lot of times I help businesses in both construction and goods and services. So I have experience with both. And as far as my particular role, I do all of our trainings. You know, I do all of our any image from our particular department, you know, goes through me. Like I'm our marketing training. I deal with conflict, you know, like if there's an issue with vendors, with especially on our construction side of the house, where you have you know, payment issues or whatever, you know, anything like that, then you know, I assist with that as well. So I'm kind of like, I kind of touch a little bit of everything, but my primary role is definitely training and then getting business owners acclimated to doing business with the district, connecting them with various people in different departments within Dallas ISD.
Nice. Now, I love that you broke it down that you have two completely different departments who manage that are all a part, well, sections that are a part of the minority and women business team, right? Now, when it comes down to Dallas ISD, because it's the second largest school district in Texas, do you handle all of the schools, or like how does that process typically work? Do you provide products and services for all of the schools that are within that district, or is it typically just for, you know, a certain amount of schools? How does that work?
Okay, as far as our department, or well, with our department, we work with business owners. That's our core focus. We work with business owners, and then those business owners do provide products and services to our schools. We have over 200 schools. We have probably about 230 something schools. So we have a lot of different schools, and the way, I guess the best answer to that is our procurement, right? So when you think about procurement kind of falls under to two categories. It's a decentralized and centralized.
Yes.
So we're a decentralized procurement system where our schools and our departments have their own budget, and within that budget, that's how they procure their goods and services. So it's based on that, whereas some smaller schools, their procurement department may purchase, you know, everything for the school, you know, all of their paper, all of their whatever that one procurement department does that. We're not a centralized system, we're decentralized. So with that, each school, each department, they pretty much control who they purchase from.
Nice. Okay. So prior to going to the school to do business with them, the first route would be to work with Dallas ISD to make sure that their business is ready to navigate the process of doing business with the agencies.
Yes,
With the
so
different schools, sorry.
correct. So typically, if a person is interested in doing business with Dallas ISD, you know, each school district has its own system in place. And with any system, I don't care if it's a school district, city, county, whatever, there you're going to be asked to register as a vendor. That's just going to be the natural process as far as doing business with any entity. You're going to be asked to do to get registered as a vendor. And it's no different here at Dallas ISD. We're going to ask you to become a registered vendor with Dallas ISD. But I also, you know, when I speak with businesses, because kind of the MWBE department, we're kind of like business coaches as well. You know, we kind of help businesses kind of understand the different processes and coach them through these processes. I always say, if you see an opportunity that is listed, do and because time is so crucial, those opportunities aren't on the website forever. You know, you're talking about an almost 2 week window from when it hits the website to when the due date is due. So if you see an opportunity, go for it, even if you're not registered. Now, I say that and I'm almost pulling back a little bit because if you want to respond electronically, then yes, you're going to have to get registered first and then respond to that. The reason why I'm emphasizing to go ahead and respond is because of the time, because it's going to take you time to get all of your information together, to read through that procurement, to understand what the district is asking for. And a lot of business owners, especially small business owners, are intimidated by that RFP, right? Dallas ISD has different contract opportunities. We have RFPs, RFBs, CSPs. We have all of these different acronyms that I'm throwing out there. And I know people are probably like, what is this one I'm talking about? This is alphabet soup over here. So RFP stands for Request for Proposal. And that's pretty much the procurement that Dallas ISD deals with on the goods and services side specifically. And with that, that's typically how you would have to do business with Dallas ISD. You would have to respond to a solicitation. The reason why it's so important, and I encourage all businesses to understand, like if you're interested in doing business with an entity, understand their contract terms in the sense of like how long do their contracts last? So for us, it's 3 to 5 years. And that means that if you see an opportunity and you don't respond to it, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to see it again for maybe 3 to 5 years. So that's critical. And if you don't understand that, you're going to always feel like, Dallas ISD doesn't have any opportunities for me. It's not that we don't have opportunities, it's you may have missed that window of opportunity. So when you see it, go for it. Like that's the best opportunity to just go for it, because then it gives you the opportunity to see how the process works. Even if you don't win a contract, you can understand how the process works. So that is how Dallas ISD pretty much deals with the procurement process as it relates to our RFPs.
Okay, so typically focusing on your small business programs. As a small business, I decided I wanted to do business with Dallas ISD, and I come to the MWBE department. What small business programs do you have available that a small business could take advantage of?
Well, with Dallas ISD, we don't necessarily have any small business programs per se. What we do is we pretty much work with the business owner most of the times one-on-one, and we kind of help them understand these different procurement processes. And I know that you've said it before, and I know that you understand the procurement process because I know kind of a little bit of your history. So with that, we kind of walk them through understanding that procurement process, because a lot of times that's the thing that intimidates business owners is that process and having a clear understanding of it. With Dallas ISD, we have MWBE compliance guidelines and forms that are a part of every Dallas ISD solicitation. And we help them understand what you need to do to complete that form and the importance of the form, the importance of becoming a certified MWBE. With the Dallas ISD procurement process, it's scored. So it's based on points. So you can get up to 100 points. And out of that 100 points, your MWBE forms are 20 points. So we try to help them understand you have 20 points in this paperwork.
Just on the paperwork alone, that's
Just on the
insane.
paperwork alone.
That's insane. Okay.
And we try to help them understand how to maximize those that points, right? Because it's a point system. And so if you do not complete the MWBE forms, that's points that you've thrown out. And a
20
lot of
points.
times people don't complete the forms because they say, well, I'm not certified, so that's why I didn't complete the form, or I'm not a woman or a minority, so that's why I didn't complete the form. The forms are, like I said, a part of every solicitation that Dallas ISD has. So it's a very important part of the procurement process. And so
Okay.
those are the types of things that our department does. We help business owners understand that. We provide amazing webinars for business owners on all different types of topics, not just specifically doing business with Dallas ISD, but how to help your business thrive. Because from our standpoint, if you are growing your business and your business, you're doing the learning curve or entrepreneurship, even if you're not ready to do business with Dell ISD right now, with our trainings and your networking, you can get to that point. So
Absolutely.
that's a big part of what we do.
Nice. And now, one other piece of it, you really mentioned it, is certifications. Does Dallas ISD certify firms, or what does that process typically look like? Do you have a certification, or do you accept certifications from other organizations?
Yeah, okay. So Dallas ISD itself is not a certifying entity. So we do accept certifications from third-party entities. And so the certification process can be a tricky as well, but it's basically a vetting process, right? It's a vetting process where business owners go to a third-party entity and that third party vets the company to ensure that the person who is listed as the owner not only owns the business, but they also operate the business to ensure that this particular business is owned and operated. And that's a key thing right there. Because you could be a minority or a woman and own a business, but then someone else operates it. So what the certifying companies do is they vet the company to make sure that the person who owns it also operates it. And then that's how the company is deemed either a minority or a woman-owned company. And we have a list of certifying entities that we accept certifications from on our MWBE website.
Got it. And I was just taking a look at that. I was wondering, I see the SBA 8A. Do you accept any of the other SBA certifications? So such as the woman-owned small business, veteran-owned small business certification from the SBA as well, or is it strictly the 8A?
Just strictly those two. Yeah.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right. Yeah. So they accept them from the city of Houston. We just had the city of Houston on the podcast. So that's a big deal. Dr. Portia Jackson was talking about that, their certification process last week. So y'all, they accepted the certification from the city of Houston now. They also have the city of Austin on here as well. So that's perfect. Now, for a business who is just getting started in this space, you mentioned that you often that you provide trainings. I noticed that you have a YouTube channel, so I'm going to drop that YouTube channel in the link as well, in the chat as well on the YouTube. But can you tell us a little bit more about the trainings and how businesses can participate in these trainings? And is it strictly for businesses that are located in Dallas?
That's a great question. In fact, we welcome businesses from all cities, states, countries. So we definitely have a melting pot of businesses who do business with the district. We procure pretty much anything that you can think of that is needed to operate a school, to provide services to our teachers and our students. Of course, our students are number one for Dallas ISD. That is why we're all here, is for our students. So anything that supports our students, that's what we procure. But as it relates to getting that information for new business owners and our webinars and workshops, all of our events are free. They're free and they're open to anyone. We offer webinars once a month and sometimes more than once a month. We just recently launched our fourth Thursdays webinars, which include, the fourth Thursday of every month, we have a vendor registration webinar, including myself, as well as our vendor management team to assist businesses getting registered as a vendor. So we walk them through step by step. There's also, since you mentioned our YouTube channel, thank you so much for mentioning that. There is also a video on our YouTube channel too that will walk business owners through getting registered as a Dallas ISD vendor. But if you want kind of like that live interaction where you're able to ask questions, you can join us every fourth Thursday. And the registration link for that is on our dallasisd.org/MWBE website. If you want to take a look at those opportunities and webinars, but We definitely, and also I'm so excited to announce we're starting to do pop-up webinars, which I'm so excited about that. So we're going to be doing pop-up webinars that's going to have a bunch of different topics that's going to help business owners thrive and not only do business with Dallas ISD, but just it's, you know, it's going to be a variety of different topics. But for those that are interested in signing up for some of our scheduled, our pre-scheduled opportunities, they can be found on our website. And we're also on social media. So we're probably one of the independent school districts that's, you know, very current and active on social media. We have a Facebook page, we have a LinkedIn page, and a Twitter page. So you can also find out about opportunities on those social media channels. And I almost forgot. And we actually have a mobile app. Now, how many independent school districts, especially their diversity systems, can say that they have a mobile app? And you can download our mobile app in both the Apple and Android store, the Google store, by searching DISDMWBE. So we are definitely, you know, we take pride in communicating with the community and getting the community, you know, the business community involved in what we're doing. And we're always also open to anything that you feel like you need to know for your business, let us know. And we will make sure that we, you know, kick off a webinar with that topic.
Nice. I love that. You can actually see all of the upcoming events and webinars. And on this YouTube channel, there's a video of putting it all together for RFP. So definitely so much information that you all are putting out, from the YouTube channel to the mobile app, even being on Instagram. That's different right there. So you are definitely meeting people where they are. So we really appreciate it. The other piece of it, let's talk a little bit about the money, right? As a business, that's always, of course, our biggest focus. We're a business to make money. The question is focused around the existing budget
Okay.
and how can we expect some of these dollars to be provided for small businesses?
Okay. So when I mentioned earlier about Dallas ISD being a decentralized procurement system, so our budget works kind of different in that way.
Okay.
So each of our various departments, they have their own budget, and based on that budget and their needs, that's how those RFPs are generated.
Got it.
So a department would say, so for example, I'll use early education, early childhood education. They may say, hey, we need curriculum. We need somebody to provide professional development services for our schools, our departments, our partners. And so they will, based on their budget, they will then determine, you know, or put out an RFP for those services, and they'll use their budget for that service. Now, as an overall district, our budget is probably between 2 to 3 billion, I believe. But I don't want to, I'm going to say that
It's
very loosely because
almost. It might be, it might not. We're open to it.
something like that.
Something.
But I can say for sure that our recent bond program, which is construction, is a little over $3 billion. And that was the largest bond program that any school district in the state has ever received. So we're definitely proud about that. So for those that are in the construction space, definitely make sure that you reach out to us if you're interested in doing business with Dallas ISD in the construction space.
Yeah, definitely. Now, one other piece, because so Dallas ISD has their budget. Is that completely different from what the schools will utilize to purchase as well? Or is that all encompassing for the, I think you said it was 220 schools
It's a
within?
little over 230.
All right, little 230. That's nice. So would
Well,
that budget be encompassing of all of that, or would the schools have their own budget? Like each individual school have their own budget?
correct. Each school
Nice.
would have their own budget.
Okay. That is getting us somewhere else. Like, okay, so now that we're thinking about it in those regards, so schools will have their own procurement departments as well.
No,
Okay. That's
now that is no,
a
yeah.
good
So
question.
there's one procurement department, but they are not responsible for the purchase of goods and services for
For
the
everything.
entire district.
Okay.
So the schools, you know, if they're in need in something, then they would, you know, order it. Meaning that the procurement department does not say, okay, all of the schools need
Need
hand sanitizer,
paper.
right?
Okay.
So we're just gonna just purchase, you know. Now, I mean, and some, you know, obviously there are special circumstances that come up where that may have to take place. So for example, when COVID happened, right? Stuff like that, yeah, that's special circumstances where the district is like, hey, we need to get XYZ for all the schools, so we're going to do this. Because you can't wait for a school to say, well, we're going to need masks, or we're going to need this, or we're going to need that. The district, you know, safety first, right? So they're going to make that decision, they're going to make that call. But on a regular basis, each of the schools would be responsible for ordering their whatever their school needs.
Got it. Okay. So they'll be okay. So that's another. I didn't necessarily think it was what that process would be like. So we really appreciate like the breakdown of that. Just understanding it's two completely different pots of money, and it's two completely different areas where you can tap into doing business with them. Now, when we talk about procurement thresholds, in the beginning you mentioned RFPs, ITBs, all of the ADC EFGs, right? But we want to talk a little bit about like those procurement thresholds and how you can tap into like those micro purchases or PCAR purchases. When up to what threshold can I submit a quote or three quotes? Like, where can we find ourselves or position ourselves strategically in that conversation?
Okay, so Dallas ISD does not operate with P cards. So
Yeah.
I just want to put that
Yeah.
out there. So we don't necessarily operate with P cards, and we don't accept open solicitations. Now, because the district basically is operating on an RFP basis. Now, there may be certain circumstances where an RFP may not be warranted. For example, like a DJ. You know, because we have proms, we have dances and homecomings and different things like that. So we're gonna need, you know, some music, some DJ there. So that's not necessarily that's gonna be something that's gonna be put out on an RFP. So that stuff like that we would do without an RFP. But for the bulk of the things that we procure, our RFP would re be required. So a business wouldn't necessarily be able to say, hey, I have this amazing product or service. I want to do business with the district, you know, unless it's an absolutely unique product or service, then they would have to go through the competitive portion of it. And I think it's designed that way to give everybody the opportunity. Because if you accept open solicitations and then somebody else may have a similar product and they'd be like, hey, I wanted the opportunity to be able to bid on that, and they didn't have that opportunity. So that therefore, that's why you see, you know, marketing or advertisement for opportunities, because they have to. It's a requirement by procurement law. They have to put it out. They have to advertise it to give everybody the opportunity to respond to it. Now, if a business owner doesn't respond to it, then, you know, there's not a whole lot that could be done to that. But the school district is required as part of procurement law to put that in for advertisement. Now, as far as like thresholds, if it's going to be under 50,000, or because usually that's kind of where those thresholds come into play, under 50,000, over 50,000. There are very few things that Dallas ISD does that's under 50,000. And the way that that works, because I know sometimes people get confused by that, because they be like, well, I know I had a contract with Dallas ISD and I probably only did like $10,000.
No.
So the way that Dallas ISD operates is based off of the code, right? The category code. So one business may, I'll just say, like, one business did 10,000, another business did 20,000, another business did 10, two other businesses did five, whatever. That's 50,000. So that's your 50,000 threshold right there
For that category.
for
Wow.
that category.
Okay.
So that's why it's RFP. because it's based off the category code. So Dallas ISD doesn't, we don't acknowledge NAICS codes or NIGP codes. Dallas ISD has its own commodity codes, its own category codes. So a business owner would have to understand what their category code is. And then when they complete their vendor registration, the category code would be part of that process. And that's how they get the bid notifications and all of that. But it's based off a category code as the threshold.
Okay, now that's another good a good point that we definitely didn't highlight as well. But before I move past this, I wanted to talk about that DJ. So how do you find that DJ, and how do I become that DJ? Is there a list that I can get on, or are you searching on Google, or is it you gotta know somebody?
You got to know somebody. For the DJs, most of the time they either connect with the school directly or they contact our procurement department and say, "Hey, I'm a DJ and I provide DJ services, and if anybody's looking for a DJ, I'm available." Again, they're still going to have to do that vendor registration process, but they have to make themselves known. Because there are so many business owners out here, which is amazing. It's not easy to do to be a business owner. So I commend anybody who does it. And I tell business owners all the time, that's a brave thing to do. And but you have to make yourself known. People have to know about your services. Now, I mean, you have some businesses that do very well. Like they don't have to market, they don't have to do anything. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like you don't market and you're still doing well like this. But when you're dealing with a school district who have that has all these intricate details, purchasing details, all these different departments. I mean, we have like over 70 departments. I mean, you get all these different departments, these different schools. And so if you are a DJ or something like that, then pick a couple of schools that you think you may want to do business with and just make a connection with that school. Make a connect because the school ultimately isn't the one that's going to be utilizing your service, for their prom or for their whatever. And a lot of times, even if you're a graduate, right? You're like, "Hey, I graduated from this school. I'm a DJ now. I want to spend the ones and twos, let me know when you guys need my services." And typically that's how it works for those types of services.
I like that. Thank you for that example. It was actually really refreshing to kind of see that you can actually just go directly to them or the department that would utilize those services primarily. So you mentioned it, so I'm gonna go ahead and hop into it, the procurement process. So, what is the current procurement process for doing business with Dallas ISD?
So a business owner would have to go to the procurement website, and I have it listed up here. So it's dallasisd.org/opportunities. So they can go there to see the current opportunities that the district has now. And I'm so proud to announce that Dallas ISD has been doing such a wonderful job. Our procurement services department has been doing such a wonderful job with trying to connect with business owners and let them know like what's coming up. What are the upcoming bids, which is so important for planning, right? For business owners. Now, we had that on the construction side of the house, but we didn't necessarily have it on the goods and services side. So we now have an upcoming bids site on our procurement services website. So I'm so excited about that. So if you don't see an opportunity on the opportunities page, you can check out the upcoming bids site to see what's coming up, and it'll let you know around the time or month that that opportunity will be advertised. And you can go to dallasisd.org/procurement and click up under, I think it's doing business with Dallas ISD or vendors, and then you'll see the upcoming bids there. And I can also put it in the chat for you.
I just grabbed the link, so I'm gonna go ahead and drop it in the chat as well.
Okay.
Doing business with Dallas ISD. Nice. Okay, and they actually have the procurement manual on here, everything, current opportunities. And you said the upcoming opportunities. So basically that forecasting component, you know exactly what's about to come out. That is amazing. That's a huge, value add for businesses. It gives you a lot more than 2 weeks to prepare for this opportunity to come out.
Yes,
So,
take advantage of
okay.
it. Take it because procurement services does not play around with those deadline dates. When they say it's due on
It's good.
February the 11th at 2 o'clock, it's due on February 11th at 2 o'clock, not 1 minute later. They will not accept it. They are very, very strict with that time. So definitely take heed to that.
Now, here's another thing that I'm happy I kind of ran across. So, because it's a school district, there are vendor background screenings.
Yes.
Okay, can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, let's talk about
Okay.
it.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. I'll let you go. Go.
So, like I said, our students come first, right? Our student and safety is first for Dallas ISD, and we want to make sure that everyone is safe. So, if you're doing business with Dallas ISD, you will have to undergo a background check. And here's one of the things with that, at your expense. So I want to include that. So that's very important. So now, once, because a lot of people will say, well, what if, they'll give these scenarios like, well, what if I did this?
What
And what if I did that? Or, like I can't specifically say what if you did this or that, if that's going to deem you as non-responsive to a solicitation. I can't necessarily go through that, but I can definitely, without a shadow of doubt, say if it involved harming a child, yeah, that is an automatic, like, no.
Yeah.
So, but like, because some people are like, well, when I was a teenager, I stole something or I did this, it really just depends. So, but I don't want to say, you're not that you're going to be totally ruled out because you did something in your past, especially if it didn't involve a child of any kind, or harming a child or anything like that. But anything else, and we and again, Dallas ISD has made many, many strides to change our background check policy. Because it used to be very, very strict. But like, because especially like on our construction side of the house, a lot of our subcontractors weren't able to do business with us because of the background check policy.
Of
So we've
course.
made some adjustments as it relates to the timing of it, because I think it used to go back like from birth or something,
Dang. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I don't know, but I mean, we've made some adjustments to that, so it doesn't go as far back.
Okay.
So if you do have something,
Is it like 3, 5, 10 years or
I'm
something
not
like
exactly sure of the
that? Okay.
exact time now. It might be 10.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's 10,
Okay.
but
Okay.
don't be discouraged. You can still apply, but I know that it used to be also like child support used to be a part of the process as well. Like if you owe child support,
You
you
can't get
were
a
not.
contract where you own child support? That's crazy. Y'all better pay your
And
folks.
I think that's changed over the
Oh.
years, but it used to be a part of that. Yeah. Because
Okay.
we are a state funded entity. So that used to be a part of it.
Okay. And then the cost for fingerprinting, it says it's $40.25. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so the vendor would have to procure that. I mean, they would have to incur that expense.
Now here's a question. Is it strictly for like the owner of the company, or it's every single person on the team that will be on that project?
Every single person.
Okay.
Yep. Every single person that would be working on that contract.
Okay. All right. That's some good clarity right there. So that's one
Yes.
thing that we haven't really encountered through the interviews with like the cities and the counties and federal government agency. Is, some of it may require a background, but this is mandatory. Like you got to get that background check.
Absolutely. And
And
it's because
it
kids are involved,
absolutely. I
Yeah.
want my kids protected, so I appreciate it.
Exactly. And we take
So,
it
I mean,
very
I got a
seriously.
kid again,
We take it very, safety is very serious here at Dallas ISD.
That's good. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so that's a good point. I'm happy that we mentioned that one. I do see y'all, first of all, let me just say there is a lot of information on this website, y'all. Like I'm clicking, trying to make sure that I'm hitting stuff before we close out, because it's a lot of information on here. So if you haven't clicked on the link, definitely click on the link and go to dallasisd.org so you can see they have, like she mentioned, that upcoming bid components of it. There are a
Which
lot of different opportunities on this
I'm
list.
so proud of our procurement department for that one. I mean, that's huge. That's a big thing. Like that just started last year. So that's big.
I love that. Hey, when I tell you they have it broken down by different industries too, so tap in, tap in. Next question before we get ready to wrap up. And if
Okay.
anyone has any specific questions, you can go ahead and drop them in the chat. And I'll ask those before we hop off of the call as well. So we talked about the existing procurement process. We talked about the background checks. We've talked about the small business programs or doing business with small business, doing business as a small business, and accepting the certifications from the certifying agencies. We also discussed the upcoming trainings and events that you have. So if you missed that stuff, you can definitely tune in. This is going to be recorded. You can catch it on YouTube or on wherever you listen to podcasts, but you can go back and listen to it and get all of that information. Any additional parting wisdom that you may have for small businesses who are looking to get into the space of doing business with a school district or doing business with school, what parting wisdom do you have to give us?
Understanding and learning about the procurement process, that's going to be extremely important. You have to ask questions, right? And sometimes people say, well, how do I know what questions to ask if I don't know anything about it? You have to kind of do some research and learn about it and understand the RFP process, right? And how to do that is, for example, if you go onto the website for the opportunities and you don't necessarily see an opportunity that is under your area of expertise, still click on it and look around and see, what the questions are being asked, what documentation forms they have, because most procurement processes, they're going to have their static forms, right? They're going to have the same form for every single solicitation. Then you're going to have certain forms that are going to be different, like the scope of work. So get familiar with the forms, get familiar with the language, attend the pre-bid meetings. A lot of vendors don't do that. Attend the pre-bid meetings. And then navigate through the website, understand all of that, because that's really the key, is understanding the structure of the entity's procurement, the contract terms, the RFPs, the pre-bid meetings. Understanding all of that is going to be crucial when you're doing contracting with, especially with a government entity. You can also request information about previous bids through the request for information process. So there are a bunch of different tips and ideas that you can learn. Just contact our office. That's probably one of the biggest things is, now we have an amazing team. Like our MWBE team is amazing, and any one of them can assist you as you navigate through doing business with the district. But be ready, be persistent, be patient, because sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes you kind of have to go through this a couple of different times before you actually win a contract. But it's about understanding that process. And here's another thing, especially when you're working with a public entity, request a debrief. So if you don't get the bid, request a debrief. That gives you information on what you could have done better to win that contract. And that's how you sharpen your tools. You can't sharpen your tools if you don't know what you did wrong and how you can make those changes. Because a lot of times you're keep doing the same mistake over and over again, and then you wonder, like, why am I not winning anything? And you're not understanding the procurement, process or what you did wrong. So request a debrief. So I think that's it, because I get excited. You gotta pull me in, because I get excited about helping business owners. So you
And
got
we love that. We appreciate you and the excitement and the work that you do because it's necessary. Like you mentioned, it's already hard enough being a business owner and just starting a company and operating it. But when you decide you want to hop and start doing business with governments and, public entities and things like that, that's a whole nother layer of complication that you add into your life. So we appreciate you. And one other thing that you mentioned is reaching out. And I was mentioning it in the chat is that your email address and phone number are literally on the background. But is there any other way to connect? Is there a newsletter? How can we stay connected to Dallas ISD to understand what's going on? What can we expect? And how can we make sure that we're staying engaged and tapped in with you all?
Definitely check us out on social media. Like I said, we're heavy on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, and we're on Twitter and LinkedIn. So connect with us on those different platforms and our mobile app. So connect with us on those different platforms and make sure that you stay engaged. We do have a newsletter. If you want to engage in our newsletter, you can email mwbe@dallasisd.org. And that can help you. But really, our social media platforms, those are going to be like the first to like get information about our upcoming events, our webinars. We have like three major events a year that we host, and they are amazing events as well. And so you can engage with us on social media. We definitely, and you already mentioned our YouTube page. And so there's a lot of our previous webinars are listed on our YouTube page for both construction and goods and services. And we're here to help on both sides. On construction, we have an amazing construction team. Our construction projects are managed by project management firms. So we have MWBE coordinators for each project management firm.
Got that. I'm looking for the so does Dallas ISD MWBE have their own Instagram channel as well?
We do not have an Instagram channel. We do have
Okay.
Facebook,
Facebook. Okay.
LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitter.
Got it. Let me go to it so I can make sure I'm dropping them in the chat. We have people who are like, I already registered, I already subscribed to the YouTube channel.
Awesome.
So that's
Yay. Thank you. Thank
that's
you.
exciting. Someone was saying this is so good. They also mentioned that they are currently a substitute teacher in Dallas and at Fort Worth in Fort Worth ISD. So their background check is in place. So we'll look forward to an email from them. But this is really exciting. The information is so good. So this is really good. Someone said they're already gonna make sure they're tuned in to the vendor registration video. So
Awesome.
you will definitely have some people popping in. And as people continue to listen to the podcast, even after our live session, I think we got another call, another question on Instagram. Okay. But after people are watching, if you have some questions, be sure, like she said, to reach out and get some information from them. I'm going to continue to drop some of these links in the chat in the meantime. But that is the episode. I feel like you came in and did an amazing job. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for providing some clarity and giving us guidance and some direction in terms of how to really navigate business with school districts, but just also just understanding Dallas within itself. So when I come to Dallas, I know I know what to do.
Exactly. Well, thank you again for having me on here. It's been a pleasure. And for those of you who are interested in doing business with Dallas ISD, we're interested in you too. And we are looking forward to helping you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. We're so excited about this, and I hope to see you on one of our upcoming webinars and events.
All right. Well, in the meantime, y'all already know there was another episode of the Government Coins podcast. I will see you all next week. Next week, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We keeping it the same next week. So I'll see you all soon, and we will talk a little bit more. In the meantime, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Next week, we have a federal agency, the Department of Homeland Security. So we'll see you all again for that episode. I will talk soon and have a good one.